You were calling out to Vancouver, where our next guest is joining us, and she is, I guess, currently the acting editor of the Cannabis Culture magazine, and she's with the Green Party of, she's with the Green Party, and she's the wife of the Prince of Pot, Mark Emery, who's currently in jail. And to give us an update on all the situation with the Free Mark campaign and everything in the cannabis culture, I'd like to welcome Jody Emery to the show today. Hi, Jody.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for being on the show, for returning on the show, and we're hoping it's not going to be our last show. We're not sure what's going on here with CKLN, with community radio, but with the criminalization, I guess, of all activism everywhere, that's where we've been talking about the Mark Emery situation. You know, we basically had it as our story of the year, 2010, and we've been playing clips, you know, from Mark Emery's farewell tour. We interviewed you a few months ago, and I'm just wondering, you know, what is the latest with Mark Emery's situation?
Well, he's imprisoned in Georgia in a private prison facility. It's in the south of Georgia in a place called Folkston. He's one of only about 12 Canadians or so in there. Most people don't speak English. They're mostly Spanish-speaking, because they're all non-Americans. So he's been sent there to serve his five-year sentence for selling marijuana seeds, which he did for a decade, using all the money made to generate funds for activism, political campaigns, elections, ballot initiatives, court cases, rallies, conferences. Mark was basically the go-to guy if anybody wanted to do anything to support cannabis law reform. So he funded the movement with millions of dollars, and the United States had him pulled from Canada to serve a sentence down there. He pled for a five-year sentence. His two co-accused got no time, and that was part of the plan. So instead of getting 30 years to life like he was facing, he's serving 5 years. And we're working on getting him transferred home to Canada, because prisoners can apply under the International Transfer of Offenders Act to be moved from a foreign country back to their home country. And so Mark's application has been submitted to the Canadian government, but they don't make a decision until the U.S. government makes theirs. And thankfully, we've been able to get fundraisers to donate money to hire a U.S. lawyer who has sent in the U.S. application. So we expect a decision sometime around June from the U.S. Department of Justice, and hopefully they'll say yes, that Mark does apply or does qualify for the transfer to Canada. But we'll see what the Canadian government says after that.
Right, and the last time we had you on, it was right before the sentencing, I guess, and Mark Emery was in SeaTac in Washington State, I believe, and now you're saying that he's in a private prison in the state of Georgia. I guess why has this transfer gone on? Like, why is Mark at the institute he's at now?
Well, he was designated for Taft, which is a low-security prison in California. The judge said that he would go there, and he was designated for it, and he went from Seattle to Nevada, and when he got to Nevada, he thought that he would be sent right over to Taft, but then he was sent to a sorting center in, I can't recall where it is, but it's somewhere where all the prisoners get sorted through. And from that point, he found out that he was designated to Georgia instead. But even his property from Seattle was sent to California. So somebody at the last minute changed his facility location. And D. Ray James is a brand new private prison. The facility itself is old. It used to be a state prison. But the federal government has hired Geo Group to run the facility. They get $1 million a week, but it's so badly run, and Mark has found so many problems and even illegal acts on behalf of the prison, which he documents online at cannabisculture.com in his newsletters and blogs. So I encourage people to read those to see what he really goes through, and that's not even all of it. And I do weekly videos on YouTube, which you can find by going to Pot TV Network, and I give updates about how Mark is doing, but for some reason he was sent to this facility with very few prisoners and many, many problems because nobody knows what they're doing. So it's even more frustrating for him than a facility would be that had been in operation for a while. But he's doing great things as always. Wherever Mark Emery goes, he brings a bit of attention and controversy and often, you know, progress. So the prison has pretty much corrected many of the problems that he's brought up in his blogs and online. And they've gotten in trouble just recently from the Bureau of Prisons for doing such a bad job running the place. So, you know, Mark at least has done his part to bring attention to how prisoners were treated in there, and hopefully that they can, you know, do a better job and leave it in a better place or a better way, so when Mark leaves, you know, he can come home, but everyone there will still have benefited from his being there.
For real, yeah, and that's the, you can find all these blogs on cannabisculture.com or freemark.ca. We got Prison Blog 25 up there now, newsletter number 2, and with all the information that's coming out, and what we've been seeing, I guess, talking about these, the politics and the, you know, the relationship with the Canada and the U.S., I know there was a big announcement last week. It was a big, something about the border sharing, and Harper was in Washington at meeting with the President Obama. What did you think about that big announcement, about this harmonization of laws and regulations?
It made me sick. It made me so sad for our country. That's our sovereignty handed over. All of our law enforcement is integrated now. All of our information is being shared with the U.S. All of our regulations, just as they said, from the cereal to fighter jets, everything is going to be on the same page. So, you know, people said that was a big conspiracy theory, but the Security and Prosperity Partnership was a real thing, and it failed, but the actual plan continued under new names, and that's what was just signed. So, you know, we were told in 2005 that that's when the FPP was starting to really get noticed, and they said by 2010 it would be done with, and there you go, January 2011, it's done, signed, sealed, delivered, we're yours, America. You know, it's really, really disappointing, but I think Mark's arrest was kind of a preview of what it means, because, you know, if we're all one country in terms of our economy and our rules, regulations, laws, you know, what else is there? Like, what makes us any different than a U.S. state? You know, Harper and them said, well, Canada can still make its own decisions. And I say, well, each state can make its own decisions, but it's still under the control of the rulers of the United States of America. And that's kind of what Canada is. And people have known that for a long time. We don't do anything here if it dares upset the big beast for the South, and the United States is a failing country. They're a failing state. That, you know, it's unsustainable that their number one growing economy is the imprisonment of people through the private prison industry. That's the fastest growing industry in the United States, and that's a sign of a country that's just imploding, and sadly Canada has just tied ourselves to that sinking ship. And, you know, maybe we'll be saved a little just by being north and with our, you know, Arctic and all the wealth of riches that Canada has in terms of resources, but most of that's just going to go to feed America. And everybody knows that the tar sands, that's all pumped going right straight down to the coast, and, you know, it's all about these multinational corporations. So Canada is nothing but a resource-rich place with a lot of different ways for big government-funded companies to make money. It's really depressing, and I feel like Canada died when that news came out.
Right. Well. What about one headline that I saw that looked pretty good was the latest headline I saw on cannabisculture.com, and that was speaking about Bill S-10, and it was speaking about the Liberal Party now saying they're opposed to it. Bill S-10 talking about mandatory minimums. What have you heard about this?
Well, actually, my friend works for Ignatius, my friend who introduced me to Cannabis Culture and Pot TV. He'll remain unnamed, but he works with Ignatius on Parliament Hill, and he sent me a message today saying, we have some really good news. We've decided to oppose Bill S-10. Now, Bill S-10 was first introduced as, I think, C-26, and then it came back as C-15, and then it died and came back as S-10. But during all that time, it was very close because the Liberals supported it the first time around. But now they've finally found the balls to stand up and say, no, this is a failed policy. It's expensive. In fact, it's so expensive that the government won't even tell us how expensive it is. So on that alone, you know, it's inappropriate for the government to expect the opposition to pass something that doesn't have a price tag on it. Their responsibility is to the taxpayer, so they're doing a good job for opposing S-10, and they also know that, you know, it's a failed policy that the U.S. is repealing in different states. You know, mandatory minimums don't work, and people realize that. But again, it's not about us fixing the problem of crime. It's about all the money to be made that Harper and his buddies have seen the U.S. profit from. You know, it's all the same company. Geo Group will, you know, be happy to bring some prisons up to Canada. So that's dream. That's what it's about. It's all the money that the government can get donated to their campaigns by these enormous groups who will come into Canada, lobby for tougher laws, get more people in prison, get more taxpayer money. And, you know, private prisons don't even operate at less of a cost to taxpayers. It's the biggest scam. That's what they sell themselves as. And Mark, as a libertarian, has always, you know, thought private business is better. But he sees that in this situation, private prisons claim to do a better job and spend less money, but they don't. And the worst part about that is there's no accountability. At least, you know, the Bureau of Prisons is a government agency. It has to respond to inquiries and the people. But when it's a private prison and they operate at the same cost, it's just somebody else pocketing all the money and not being held accountable for the atrocities that take place under their watch. So that's, you know, one of the most dangerous things is that Canada does not have private prisons yet, but I feel like they're knocking on the door, and that's why this mandatory minimum law was introduced. There's no other reason for them to want to imprison thousands and thousands of nonviolent Canadians, and that's the result of S-10. That's what would happen. So thank God the Liberals are finally, you know, standing up for something with the support of the people behind them, I hope. You know, people are encouraged to contact their Liberal reps and even just Liberal headquarters and say thank you for that, because the Conservatives will strike back hard. They're going to try and make it look like the Liberals are soft on crime and all that. So we need to make sure the Liberals know that this is a great decision they've made, and we need them to stick to it.
Right, right. And that's, you know, speaking about politics, you know, where we've got the Liberals coming out here on opposing Bill S-10. We've got, yourself, Jody Emery, with the Green Party. We've got in BC, for the BC NDP leadership, a lot of the cannabis culture supporting Dana Larson's bid there for the leadership. So we got local politics going. And, you know, we talk a lot about the criminalization of marijuana. But one thing I want to bring up, though, is the medical aspects of marijuana, just because I've been seeing a lot of cannabis culture reports from last week. I guess there was a Vancouver Can Med Fair. I was wondering, did you check out this fair, and how is this?
Yeah, I was promoting it for quite a while and an enthusiastic supporter. We attended. I did interviews that will come out in a video on Pot TV this week. It was a great event. We haven't had any sort of expos in Vancouver before, and hopefully it'll continue and we'll have more events like that, because Vancouver is a, you know, cannabis culture center. It's where a lot of history with marijuana has taken place. So it's kind of odd we haven't had expos or anything yet, but that's the beginning of it. And we have to remember we've got to flex our muscles and be sure to take stands, because as we've seen in other places like California, once it just gets too good and too easy, and people just sit back and have too much of a good time, then, you know, progress is not as easy to get, because people are just lazy. And so we need to remind people, get involved. You know, don't get too comfortable and think things are too easy, because it depends on you to make sure it doesn't get worse.
For real, for real. Yeah, and thanks a lot, Jody Emery, for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thank you. And I encourage everyone to go to freemark.ca, write him a letter. It's his birthday on Sunday the 13th. So he would really appreciate some mail from people. So that's at freemark.ca, and that's with a C in Mark.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Jody.
Great. Take care. All the best to you guys.
Peace. Yeah, and that's Jody Emery there. You can check out freemark.ca. You can check out cannabisculture.com. Some other sites to check out. Check out the Toronto Hash Mob. Check out myrna.ca. Check out dopechef.com.